And there we go. We're going to start this morning with a few passages that I wanted to read for us. The first is from Isaiah chapter 61. So glad you're all here this morning. My name is Luke. If you're online watching with us, welcome to you as well. Here's Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 follows immediately after the passage we talked about last week when Pastor Kevin was talking about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. It goes immediately to this verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went to, as usual, to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be? They asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? Then he said, you will undoubtedly quote me this proverb, physician, heal yourself, meaning do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath in a land of Sidon. And many in Israel had leprosy in the time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian. When they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. Father God, thank you for this time we have together. Lord, may there be a super-powered connection between our minds and our hearts today. God, that the words that we receive and we hear, that we process as we think about this story, as we understand the words of Jesus, God, would you help them to change us, to inspire us, to inform us, God, to know who we are and what we've been called to do. Thank you, God, for all of my friends here, God, and pray this is all a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you may be seated. Have you ever had that exciting feeling of being chosen for something? Maybe it was on the playground, you got chosen like first to be on like one of the teams, right? Maybe it was a promotion that you were chosen for at work, a new responsibility. Maybe you were proposed to by that special someone. Maybe you made a new friend or someone invited you to be a part of something. A chosen moment for me that I remember is back in my senior year of high school. I was chosen as the homecoming king for Fargo South High School. Which the story here is that like, it was like pure shock, just totally did not expect. That's not false humility. That was like, what? Like, did not expect it. I wasn't cool. I wasn't popular. Bailey, who was the homecoming queen, we just decided that it was a good year where people just chose like nice, awkward people instead of the popular people that year. I don't know. That's what it was. We can move on from that photo. Perfect. There we go. Okay, good. We love stories about people who are chosen or chosen ones. Harry Potter, Frodo, Neo, if you want to do a throwback to The Matrix. Shrek was chosen. Elsa was chosen. Simba, Moana. There's historical stories of people being chosen. Neil Armstrong, Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, Billy Graham. There's biblical stories that we love of people being chosen. Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Joshua, David, Nehemiah, Esther, Jesus, Peter, Paul, all these chosen people. We're talking about identity formation, and we sometimes find that in the secular world, the non-church world, people form their identity around the things that they're chosen for. Okay? People form their identity around the things that they're chosen for. So you're good at basketball, and people start calling you a basketball player. You're a good mom, and people start only referring to you as a mom. It's your identity. You're good at telling long stories, and people start referring to you as annoying. It's your identity. But in God's kingdom, it's a little different. In God's kingdom, we are chosen for the things that our identity calls out of us. Okay? Note the reverse. In God's kingdom, we are chosen for the purposes that our identity calls out of us. And so in this identity formation series, we've been going through the book of Luke, and we've been challenging you all to think about the ways that you have been given an identity from God, whether it be a general identity that we carry as followers of Jesus, or more specifically, a unique identity. God looks at you and he has a name for you that you can soak in. And we've been challenging you and trying to help you find those identities and form those identities. Because if you can find your unique identity, then everything becomes much clearer, including your purpose, which is what we're going to talk about today. It's your identity that Christ has given you that informs your purpose. And what I want to try to help you see today, every single one of you, is that you have been chosen for a unique purpose in this world. You have been chosen for a unique purpose in this world, okay? So we've talked about how the identity of Jesus was formed through his early experiences, like when he was a boy in the temple, when he was baptized. Last week we talked about how he was tempted in the wilderness. And all along, as he was forming his identity, he was fulfilling these different prophecies. You all heard about the prophecies of the Messiah from the Old Testament who would come to save the world. And if you read through those prophecies throughout the Old Testament, you see that there's a lot of identity statements in there. That the Messiah would be a ruler. The Messiah would be a savior. The Messiah would be a king. And that the Messiah would be chosen or anointed. The term Messiah in the Hebrew technically means chosen one or anointed one. But he wasn't anointed for just what he would be, the ruler, the king, the savior. He was also anointed for what he would do, his purpose for being here in this world. And that's what this story is that we just read. It's Jesus proclaiming his anointing as the chosen one. And anointing is a churchy kind of word. You guys have maybe participated in someone being anointed for something. Maybe that's like foreign concept to you. But it's actually a pretty common thing throughout the scriptures, people being anointed for a special purpose, chosen to do something specific. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament, way back into like the time of the judges would be anointed for their work. Technically, the definition of being anointed, people in the Bible are anointed in recognition of the Lord's divine calling upon their lives. The anointing was a physical recognition of their particular role, like a king, a prophet, a priest. It was used in the time of the kings. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 10, you can see the time where Saul was anointed as king. He was chosen. He was pointed out. He was called upon to be the king of God's people. And the same thing happens in 1 Samuel 16 when King David is anointed, chosen to be the king. Anointing was the biblical, like the OG version of being chosen for a special purpose. And here Jesus is telling the crowd in Luke chapter 4 that he has been anointed. Let's picture the scene. Jesus has already performed some miracles in Capernaum. He's already faced that temptation in the wilderness, and he finds himself in his homeland, his hometown, Nazareth, and he's preparing to spend some time in the synagogue with anyone who found him interesting enough to come and listen to, which we suspect was a lot already. And someone hands him the scroll of Isaiah. So that's something along these lines. This is the scroll of Isaiah that's part of the Dead Sea Scrolls, one of the oldest versions of a complete biblical text that exists out there. You can actually, there's this amazing tool actually that I didn't know existed. You can actually go and it will, you can pick a verse from Isaiah and it will actually highlight for you where in this scroll, in this text, it actually exists. You can go through the entire book of Isaiah. It's really a powerful testimony from a very, very old document. So you can picture this type of scroll being handed to Jesus. It doesn't say he asked for Isaiah. We're not exactly sure how the exchange took place, but someone hands him the scroll of Isaiah and he searches through, he opens up to Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Let me reread those for you. He rereads Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Now, the people of the day, the Jewish people, they would have known this text, and they would have known it as prophetic. They would have known that this text was pointing to the future Messiah. They would have known that that's what this text was for. This was going to be one of the markers, one of the signs that their Savior, their Messiah, had come. Now, Jesus is stepping into the picture, and he is telling them this text all along that you've known for hundreds of years is about me, that I am the anointed one. I am the chosen one, that was his purpose in the world. And the point we're making here today is that you too, like Jesus, like all followers of Jesus, are anointed for a specific purpose. Because you have a unique identity in Christ, you have been chosen to fulfill unique responsibilities in the kingdom of God. So let me ask you a question today. Do you believe that you have been anointed for something special? Do you believe that God has chosen you to be a part of his kingdom work in this world? For some of you, I suspect that answer is yes. I've had those experiences. I've had those thoughts. God has illuminated those things for me. That's good, and that's beautiful. For others of you, I suspect that you may feel you've just been going through the motions trying to figure it all out. For those here today who have claimed faith in Jesus Christ, who have centered your lives on God, I wonder if you have accepted this truth, that all followers of Jesus have a unique kingdom purpose, that all followers of Jesus have value for God's work in the world. And I'm not particularly, maybe, but I'm not really talking about jobs or college majors or what teams you're qualified for or what hobbies you like. I'm asking you to consider whether you truly, in your heart of hearts, believe that you have been chosen by the Holy Spirit to fulfill a good purpose for God and his people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes, "It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. I'm not throwing out some philosophy here. I'm not trying to make an argument. I am telling you the truth that the scriptures tell us. I am telling you what the word of God says, that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us is chooses us for a specific purpose, anoints us with an identity and a purpose. You've received this transformational gift of the Holy Spirit, which is your anointing. Now, we've been talking about the difference between a general and a unique identity, and I think that's helpful, specifically when we're talking here about purpose. Because you may say, yes, I generally feel that because I follow Jesus, I have a purpose in this world, right? I'm part of the global church, I'm trying to be a good Christian, and therefore I have memorized the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. That is my purpose. Yes, this is true. Good. That's a good answer. That's the right answer. We want you to love God and to love your neighbor. We want everyone to be participating in going and making disciples of all nations. That's a great place to start. And for some of you, you might even say, well, I'm also a member of Westgate Church. And yes, as these last few months have unfolded, we've learned that our church has a unique purpose in this world, and you want to be a part of that. We've put some words to it. It's these words. It says, empowered by the Spirit, Westgate is called to be a gateway of hope, building authentic community in the church and sharing that community throughout the Twin Cities. Now, if you can see yourself in this, and we hope all of you can, then yes, that is a big part of your purpose. It can be through your involvement in this church, is building and sharing authentic community. This is good. Again, a good answer. But I also need you to hear this today. You have a unique identity in Jesus Christ. And because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you also have a unique purpose in this world. God made each of us and chooses each of us to play a meaningful role. I want to tell you about someone. I actually don't think he's here today. Otherwise, I would have maybe asked his permission to tell this story. But that's his bad. So there's a guy here at our church that his name is Jim, Jim Anderson. And you may know him. You may know he's a great, friendly, happy guy. What you probably don't know about him is that Jim Anderson comes into the building multiple days a week, checks in with the staff, asks if there's anything that can be done, grabs tools, recruits help, calls vendors, and fixes things around our building all the time. Since I've been here for 3 years, he's been doing it for 3 years. And he just shows up, keeps his head down, uses his skills, his expertise, all the things that he's learned over the years, and he just it's like things are just fixed, they're just done. There was, what was it, a leaky dishwasher, Mike, that was this last week, right? It's just fixed. Just have to mention it to Jim. Well, the water fountain downstairs is doing weird things. Just tell Jim. Oh, people are hitting when they're trying to park their car by door number 2. They're scraping up against this stone thing. And so for a week, Jim is out there with concrete saw. I don't even know what he was doing, but now it's very pretty and doesn't hurt anyone anymore. Right? And I don't know that much about Jim's story, and I don't know that much about what motivates him to do all of that for this church, but you can see his unique purpose playing out literally on a daily basis by the work that he's doing here. You just watch it happen. It's right in his zone. It's his expertise. He has total confidence about it. He's super humble about it, but he's sure. He pours himself in. He doesn't complain. He doesn't really ask for anything. He just does it. It's just natural. And there are versions of that happening all over this church and all over this community when you guys use the things that you're naturally gifted at, the things that God has made you to be, to make the world a better place, to fulfill God's kingdom purposes. This is what it looks like for someone to live out their unique purpose in this world because they know their unique identity. And I want to tell you, as I push this concept on you, as I challenge you to think about what this means for you, I want you to understand that I might not necessarily be saying that it's going to change all that much about what you spend your time doing. I would have every expectation that for the vast majority of us, living out our identity and our purpose won't require all that much change to our career, to our schedule, to the titles we carry, to the hobbies that we have. Chances are, for the rare few, we might need to talk about some big shifts, okay? But chances are, you're going to be able to live out your anointing, your identity, and your purpose in the exact place that God has you right now. With the family that you have right now, in the neighborhood that you're in right now, with the work that you do right now, with the plans you make right now. But if you can find the God-given purpose behind it, it's like everything becomes clear. This is why. This is how I'm going to react to these situations. This is how I'm going to treat people. This is what I'm going to say. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to pour my energy into, my time, my investments. You just need to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to make it clear for you. Now, so the biggest question we hear, if it's rumbling around in your mind, the biggest question we hear all the time on stuff like this, I think it's been a very common question that's popped in as Kevin and I have talked about this, especially for modern day believers, we're busy people, it's America, it's all these things, right, is how? How do I know? How do I know what God calls me? How do I know what God wants me to do? Because sometimes I feel like I can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I just wonder if it's thoughts rattling around in my head, and sometimes I'm just like gassy and I just don't know. Like, how do I know? How do I know the difference, right? Well, I'm going to give you some tips. These are just my tips, all right? It's not particularly like anything more than just what I think, how it's worked out in my life, okay? It's going to be three C's because we got to, right? We've got to. The first C is going to be clues. Second is going to be calling. And the third is going to be confirmation, okay? As you look back in your past, if you really want to be a person who discerns what your unique identity is and what your unique purpose is, my first challenge is to look back on your past and try to find some clues. Look for clues throughout your story that might hint at what God wants to call you and call out of you. For me, some of the clues were when I was a kid, I used to take the dry, non-frosted edges of Pop-Tarts and break them into pieces and serve communion to my family at the dinner table. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I thought that was cool. I was like, communion is cool, man. Pastors are awesome. That's great. Another clue I loved, I was happiest when I was at church volunteering with the kids ministry at my home church in Fargo. Other clues that I found myself landing in lots of community service types of things in high school. I played tennis, but I didn't do a whole lot of other sports. I did music, but really only during the school. What I spent my evenings and my weekends on was things like food drives. There was this big food drive in Fargo called Fill the Dome. Or I did an internship after my senior year at a homeless shelter. It was just like where I like found myself. Right? Those were some clues. As you look back on your story, I would challenge you to think about what are some of the clues that might hint at what your identity and purpose really are. What has brought you joy? What has made you a little different? What has fired you up? And those clues can start moving you along the path. Now, the second step is the second C is calling. Now, this is where we really want to help you believe that you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You can hear God's calling on your life, actually hear it. Okay? Now, it's really hard to tell you exactly how to do that. This is a hard thing in a busy world. So I'm going to tell you a few things. It will only happen if you're able to carve out some quiet, physical and mental quiet. God, for whatever reason, God really isn't in the business of trying to shout over all the other noise that you've infused in your life. And as you find some quiet, Honestly, like, the best advice we can give you is to just ask him. Just ask him, God, what do you call me? God, what do you call me? What do you want me to do? Why did you make me? And then just keep staying quiet. I had this experience in the fall, personally, as we were reading through that Living Fearless book by Jamie Winship. And I had this quiet moment, and honestly, like, it happened. God laid some words on my heart, and then he reiterated them and reiterated them and reiterated them, and it became clear, okay, that's my identity statement right there. That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing that can happen. If you can hear the voice of God identifying you, calling you by a special name, usually an unexpected, like, weird, where did that come from kind of name, sometimes a really big, like, whoa, that's an intense, scary kind of name, then you know that you're on the right track of hearing God's calling. And if you can do that, then I would encourage you to start. If you think you're like, I think maybe it's this, maybe it might be that kind of thing, and you're like, I kind of hear that. Now look for confirmation, the third C, confirmation. And that can come from conversations with other people. The first person, other than I told Hillary, and then I told Pastor Kevin after I had that moment in the fall. And I was like, I don't know if I should say it. And he's like, you should say it. And I was like, I don't really want to say it. He's like, you should say it. And so then I said it, and he goes, yep, that's it. That's it. Totally, totally see it. Confirmation. Confirmation. God may confirm it for you through scripture, a passage that you read, a message that you hear, a podcast that you listen to, something from scripture itself. And he may confirm it for you through some sort of experience, some sort of surprising experience that, like, oh yeah, wow. He called me this, and then I was in that situation, and then I did that, and look at this cool thing that happened, right? Or probably other ways, too. Those are just the best ones I could think of. This is not easy, honestly. I believe that this is not easy, and I have no idea where you're at on your particular spiritual journey of faith. I have no idea how much you believe that the Holy Spirit is active and working and speaking and doing and with you and wants to tell you, but I can tell you that this is happening for people here at Westgate. We're starting to hear whispers of people like, wow, yeah, man, I took some time with this identity stuff, and it's changing everything. It's changing everything. I can't believe it. I can't believe he's calling me that. And then, well, yeah, I guess I can believe that he's calling me that, right? It is happening, okay? And if nothing else, because this is really hard, really, really hard, if nothing else, please reach out to us, any one of you. You are welcome, welcome, welcome to send us an email, to call us, to grab us. I know Kevin would sit and do coffee with you. I would love to do coffee with you. Pastor Andrea, Pastor Taylor, we would love to sit with you and just talk it through with you and just help maybe break down some of the barriers that you might be experiencing. And one side note, I didn't know exactly where to fit this in, so here it is. I do not personally believe that age is a factor to be considered here. Don't let that lie seep in, okay? So if you tell yourself, oh, I'm probably too young to really figure this out, like, well, no, God might very well have something to say to you. But more likely, if you feel like I'm past my prime, missed my opportunity, too late, I believe that's a total lie. I think that's hot garbage, as they say. It is never too late to dig in and ask God to identify your purpose. Don't let the enemy or the culture tell you that you are too late to make a difference. You're not. All right, last thing. What happens when we find our purpose? What happens when we feel we've been anointed? We feel we've been chosen. We feel like we're given some direction. Here we're going to go back to the passage in Luke 4, okay? So Jesus is saying, here I am, I'm anointed. And there's three things we can learn from Jesus' experience in Luke chapter 4, okay? The first is this, that we are given specific tasks and responsibilities, okay? Specific. This passage says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free. These are specific things that Jesus was chosen for. And when you find your unique identity and purpose, there will be specific things that God asks of you, specific tasks and responsibilities. The second thing that happens is that we overall start to operate a little differently. The things we think, the things we say, the things we do, the decisions we make, our whole, it's like a update to the operating system, right? Version 2.0 or whatever, 10.2.6 point, whatever they all these iPhone updates are. It updates the way you see the world around you. Literally, Jesus starts talking about this and he goes to the scroll and then the people say, they were amazed with the words that came from his lips. How can this be, they asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? They're like, who's this guy? Who's this guy that's now talking with authority? Who's this guy that now is different? He's changed. He's got some new power about him. And the third thing that could easily happen if you truly decide that you want to embrace God's identity and purpose for your life is that you might face rejection. You might. Especially if you're one that's really caught up in the ways of the world, and then you start to make this change in your life, you might notice that people look at you a little different, distance themselves from you a little bit because they don't quite know what's going on, that the nature of some of your relationships morph a little bit. Jesus faced that multiple times throughout his journey, but he's teaching, he's explaining what his purpose is going to be. He's explaining that he's going to bring this freedom to people, not just Jewish people, but to people everywhere, and they don't like that. So they get all mad at him, they're furious, they mob him, they force him to the edge of the hill. It's foreshadowing of what's to come at the crucifixion, and they're just about to push him through. But here's the other part of it. You may face rejection, but God will help you walk through it. He's the one that gave you the purpose. He's the one that identified you. You think he's gonna hang you out to dry then? God will help you walk through it. It's cool. It's verse 30. We don't even know, like, was it supernatural power? Was he just like, did he just like puff up his chest? So we don't know why, but they like have him at the edge of the cliff, and it says he passed right through the crowd. He just walked right through it. And I know that it might be scary to take your faith on in a much more serious way like this and to live out a more godly calling. And I know that people might react a little strangely to you in that, but God will help you walk through that, I have no doubt. And you know what? We here, when we talk about building community, we will not hold it against you at all. We will not reject you. We will welcome you with open arms. I want to recap. The life of Jesus is a life of anointing. We have a full account through four Gospels of Jesus' life that's available to us and how these things played out. He was given specific tasks and responsibilities to bring good news to the poor. In Luke chapter 6, it says, let me find it here. Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry, for now you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep, now to Zoo. That's good news that he brought to the poor. It says that he would proclaim to the captives that they would be freed. In Luke 23, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He looks to the criminal to his left and he sees his faith and he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. In paradise. And he sets him free. He says that the blind will see. In John chapter 9, he literally restored sight to a blind person. It says that the oppressed will be free. In John chapter 8, he looks at the woman caught in adultery and he says, now I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He lived out his anointing and his purpose with those specific tasks that he was given. He was changed. He operated a little differently. Throughout the Gospels, people recognized that Jesus was more and more like the Messiah that they had been taught about, that he taught with authority, that he performed miraculous signs, that he healed people. He did it. And then the ultimate change, he was dead and then came back to life and in the resurrection that saved the world. He faced rejection, but he walked right through it. Luke 23 says, then a mighty roar rose from the crowd and with one voice they shouted, kill him. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Let me read verse 30 to you one more time. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. The gospel testimonies give us an example after example of how Jesus was anointed. He was chosen by the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose here on earth, and he followed through. He followed through on living out that purpose, and by doing that, he changed the world. And then he said, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. So I'm going to invite you to stand, if you would. And we're going to do a little anointing here as we close the service today. But before that, I wanted to remind you that if you need prayer for anything, it might be around this idea of identity or purpose. It might be anything else that you're walking through in life. We would be privileged. Our team would be privileged to pray for you back in that corner over there. We have our staff is available and around. We also have a next steps table. If you have questions about like, what is this church or what's going on, any of those kind of things, we would love to answer those questions for you. If you are a family with kids in Westgate Kids Ministry, remember you have your pizza party down in the gym after the service today. And finally, don't go if you're willing to be brave and bold and lead the charge. Don't go before sticking around and doing your part of the video up here, okay, with the whiteboards. This crew will have that ready for you up here. All right. Do you believe that God has a unique and specific purpose for your life? That he has something he wants to do through you for this world out there? Receive these words from Romans 8. This is the Message version. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcomed him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. And so God, for every person who is receiving these words today, God, may they sink into their hearts to know that they are not here by accident. That there is more in store for them than wandering from day to day and just figuring it out. That when we claim faith in Jesus Christ, we're not just putting a belief system in our minds. We are receiving power from the Holy Spirit. Power that clarifies things, that releases us from the darkness and from the confusion, from the expectations of the world, that clarifies for us that you made us on purpose. And so God, for every one of us, as we go on this journey of identity formation, God, would you illuminate for us the purpose you have in store for us starting today, the specific tasks and responsibilities that you've assigned to us. God, the new way of operating that you have for us, new ways of speaking and thinking and relating and deciding. And God, would you help us walk right through any rejection that we might face? You have been chosen by our Heavenly Father for a good and powerful purpose. Now your job is to go find it, be quiet and listen, and to go live it out. And through us, he will change the world. May God bless you on your journey. Thank you for being a part of this community. Have a fantastic, fantastic week. Thanks for being here. Amen.